You know, we can't give all of our weapons to Ukraine. We just can't do that. And I've been very good to President Zelensky and to Ukraine, but we can't give, you know, if we're going to be short, I don't want to do that. I can't jeopardize the United States.
Did you get any sense?
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, October the 19th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And should we start things off with the Burger King protests taking place all across the United States? Everyone is wearing their Burger King crowns, and then you have protesters on the streets in the United States. I imagine they're upset with Burger King, and so they're protesting while other people are showing their support for Burger King by wearing their Burger King crowns. I don't know what's going on in the United States. It's not Burger King protest. It's a No Kings protest is what they're calling it. The No King. The No King or the No Kings? I don't know. The No King, No Kings protest. Maybe it was the No Kings when they were protesting Trump and Musk. Maybe now it's just No King because they're protesting just Trump. But anyway, the protests across the United States, people are saying that they refuse to be ruled by kings and by oligarchs, right? They refuse to be ruled by the kings and oligarchs. And the United States is a democracy. It will not be ruled by King Trump or King Musk or King whoever, King Teal, King Palantir, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, the No Kings protest. Huh. All over the United States. The memes were pretty good for this protest. Trump put out a meme of himself, black and white, wearing a crown, and then you had the Democrats, because the No King or No Kings protest is mostly being supported by the Democrats, Democrat Party, and Democrat oligarch billionaire donors. Right? This protest is all about pushing back against the rule by oligarchs and the people that are funding this protest are Democrat oligarchs and donors. I'll get into that in a little bit, but yeah, this black and white Trump AI video meme thing was all over the interwebs, and the funny part about this meme, it has the Democrats bowing down to Trump. Actually, that video of the Democrats taking a knee was from what were the protests back then? The George Floyd protests, and they took that video. The AI took that video of Pelosi and the other Democrat Party leaders taking a knee during those protests, and it got integrated into this Trump wearing his crown. Anyway, Vance posted this on Blue Sky. The vice president posted this on Blue Sky, which is Jack Dorsey's, from what I understand, this is Jack Dorsey's rival to X, to Twitter X, which he sold to Musk, right? And then he created Blue Sky, which is the left's answer to Musk's X. And the vice president of the United States posted this this video AI No King meme on Blue Sky. So I imagine a lot of people probably freaked out with that one. But yeah, the other meme that was really funny that I liked was Drake. And it's the classic Drake meme. And it has No Kings on the one panel, And then on the panel underneath, it has a photo of, I think that's Schumer and Pelosi. One sec. And it says lifetime senators. That's a funny meme, man. Yeah, that's Schumer and Pelosi. Oh, man. Yeah. So the no king, the no kings is plural, the no kings protest, which took place in the United States. And so Peter Schweitzer and Seamus Bruner, they decided to dig into the protests taking place in the United States and who, if anyone, was behind the funding of these protests, the mobilization of these protests, because putting something like this together across so many cities, so many people, obviously takes a lot of organization and a lot of money. So Zero Hedge, they put out an article with the title, Fueled by Billionaires, No Kings Prepares Color Revolution Style Mobilization Against Trump. And let me pull up the findings of Peter Schweitzer and Seamus Bruner. I think Peter Schweitzer is the person that wrote the book Clinton. It's either Clinton Cash or Clinton Crime Family. I forgot the name of the book, but he's the person that did all of the investigations into the Clinton family and the Clinton Global Initiative and stuff like that. So anyway, the article from Zero Hedge says, drilling down into the dark money network funding No Kings, our investigative researchers, Peter Schweitzer and Seamus Bruner of the Government Accountability Institute, their new bombshell report exposes how the protest industrial complex dubbed Riot Inc. is, in their words, fueled by billionaires. I think Peter Schweitzer is the guy that did the Clinton stuff. I could be wrong about that, but anyway. He along with Seamus Bruner, they dug into what's going on behind the scenes of the No Kings protests. And this is from the X account of Seamus Bruner, who says, breaking update, this Saturday, October 18th, No Kings 2.0 goes global. Organizers claim to stand against kings and billionaires, but new at Peter Schweitzer team research into Riot Incorporated shows the unrest is fueled by billionaires. And they have the money traced back to Arabella Network, Soros Network, Ford Network, Tides Network, Rockefeller, Buffett, and they have the amounts. You can see the post on your screen right now, the X post on your screen right now. And then they go through some of the billionaires that they allege are behind all of this. This is what they allege, according to this article and according to their research. George Soros, no surprise there, and everyone's wearing their Burger King hat, by the way, in the photos that they post for their research. Zuckerberg, no surprise there. Some guy, Hans-Jörg Weiss, I don't know who he is, some Swiss mega donor, I don't know who this guy is. Bill Gates, no surprise there. Mark Benioff, no surprise there, of Salesforce fame. Who else? I think that's it. Some other people. Anyway, that's what they found out as they researched this. If this is true or not, I can't confirm this, but this is from their research. What I will say is that putting together these types of organizations on a U.S., across the United States, on that kind of level, or even on a global level, is a pretty big undertaking, pretty expensive and complicated undertaking. So no doubt it needs some sort of financing. So let's turn our attention to the Washington Post, the paper that is owned by another big-time oligarch. Jeff Bezos is Washington Post, right? Bezos has the WAPO, if I remember correctly. And they put out an exclusive on the phone call between Trump and Putin. And the Washington Post has wasted no time trying to sabotage the talks that are going to take place between the United States and Russia in Budapest. And what the Washington Post claims in this exclusive article is that during the phone call between U.S. President Trump and President Vladimir Putin, Putin had demanded that Ukraine surrender Donetsk. And in exchange for the surrender of Donetsk, then he would not press further in Zaporozhye and Kherson. It would freeze. The lines would freeze in Zaporozhye and Kherson, which would leave parts of those two oblasts remaining with Ukraine and not with Russia, which would go against the Russian constitution, which says that all of Zaporozhye and Kherson, along with the referendum, they belong to the Russian Federation, or they have decided to go into the Russian Federation according to Russia's referendum in their entirety. So anyway, the Washington Post is claiming that Putin told Trump the Ukraine military leave whatever is left of Donetsk, and that goes to Russia, and then we will freeze the position in Zaporozhye and Kherson. And so the article basically talks about how Trump might be betraying Ukraine by agreeing to this, how Putin may be betraying Russia by floating this idea out there. It talks about how Witkoff may be betraying everyone because it claims that that Witkoff, during the phone call, he told Zelensky, or during the meetings. Yeah, during the meetings that were taking place on Friday, Witkoff told Zelensky, you know what, just leave Donetsk, just let's do this deal that Putin told Trump over the phone the other day, do the deal, leave Donetsk. They speak Russian anyway, they're Russian speakers anyway, and the Washington Post claims that this is what Witkoff told Zelensky, and Zelensky didn't like it, I don't like it. And the Ukraine side, the Europeans, were insulted by this and all of this stuff. So that's what the Washington Post is reporting. And how did they get this information, you may ask? Well, here's the title of the article before we get to how they got this information. Putin demanded Ukraine surrender key territory in call with Trump. The demand from Putin would significantly disadvantage Ukraine and could be an obstacle to peace, officials said. Yeah. Trump is betraying Ukraine. Trump is betraying Europe. Putin is betraying Russia. Witkoff is betraying Ukraine. Witkoff is betraying Europe. Putin is betraying Europe. Putin is betraying Ukraine. I don't know. Everyone's betraying everybody. Everyone's folding to everyone, according to the Washington Post. And in the article, they also talk about how awesome Zelensky is, by the way. They talk about how awesome the Green Goblin is. But they got this information from two senior officials familiar with the conversation. That's right. Two senior officials familiar with the conversation. That is where they got this information. One of the senior officials, according to the Washington Post, was briefed on the Putin call, whatever that means. Briefed by who? Who briefed this senior official on the Putin call? We don't know. Someone briefed him. Someone, it could be anybody, briefed this person on the call, right? We don't even know if this person was in the room when the call was taking place that briefed the senior official that the Washington Post is citing in this article. We don't know, but the senior official was briefed on the call. Okay, so that's the first source. And the second source in this article is a senior European diplomat. Senior European diplomat is the other source. Could be anybody. Could be Macron. Probably Stubb. Maybe Maloney. Maybe Macron, possibly Sikorsky, who knows? It's just some senior European diplomat who just happens to know what Trump and Putin said during the phone call. Maybe it's NATO CEO Mark Rutte, could be Rutte, who knows? But those are the two officials that the Washington Post is citing in this article, which claims that Putin told Trump, Ukraine surrender Donetsk, and then we will freeze the conflict along Zaporozhye and Kherson. Let me read you a little bit of this article. In the call between Trump and Putin, the Russian leader suggested he would be willing to surrender parts of two other regions of Ukraine he has partly conquered, Zaporozhye and Kherson, in exchange for full control of Donetsk, the officials said. That is slightly less of a sweeping territorial claim than he made in August at a summit between Trump and Putin in Anchorage. Some White House officials portrayed that as progress, according to one of the senior officials who was briefed on the Putin call. Ukrainians are unlikely to view it that way, said the other official, a senior European diplomat. It's like selling them their own leg in exchange for nothing, the diplomat said. Neither the White House nor the Kremlin immediately responded to a request for comment. So there you have it. The offer from Putin, according to two senior officials. One of them, we have no idea from where. We just know that he was briefed on the call, or she was briefed on the call. The other one is some European guy or gal. Who knows? Who knows who they are? Maybe it's Ursula. Maybe it's Kaja Kallas. Maybe it's the rising star from Lithuania, the defense minister from Lithuania. Dovil something. That spoke to the Washington Post. So that's the WAPO. I don't buy any of it. I don't buy one bit of it. Collective West mainstream media was putting out the same freaking exact articles 1 week before the Alaska summit in order to sow discord and controversy and stuff like that right before the Alaska summit. They were putting out the same articles from the same officials, Melina Mercuri, Cultural Center. Yes, Alexander Mercuris, Melina Mercuri. Absolutely. They were putting out the same exact articles right before Alaska. Same exact ones. The more things change, the more they stay the same, right? The Collective West media, their tricks are always the same. They adjust them a bit, but generally they run with the same types of tricks when they report on things. So the UK Independent, they interviewed one of the top generals, if not the top general in the UK military, in a podcast. And the UK general, Field Marshal Lord Richards, he said during the interview that Ukraine cannot win. That's what he said. Ukraine cannot win. The interesting part of the interview is that he was asked if Ukraine, he was asked about the conflict in Ukraine, and the general said that, Lord Richards, that Ukraine was not given the opportunity to win. They were not given the equipment and the means to win the conflict against Russia. And then he was asked later in the interview, can Ukraine win? And he said, no. And then the podcast interviewer asked Lord Richards, well, what if we give Ukraine everything they ask for? What if we give them the resources that they need? Then can they win? And he said no. So, I mean, it's like, which one is it, man? At first, he says that Ukraine's not winning or did not win or can't win because they have not been given the resources that they needed to win. And then he was asked, well, what if we gave Ukraine the resources that they need to win? Can they win? And he says, no, they can't win. So, I mean, they can't win. That's the conclusion. They can't win. Just leave it there. So the Independent, their article from this podcast has the title, Ukraine cannot win against Russia, warns top British Army chief. Field Marshal Lord Richards tells the Independent's Sam Kylie that Ukraine has been given false hopes by its Western allies and cannot triumph against Russia unless NATO forces join the fight. Yeah, NATO forces are not going to join the fight. And even if the NATO forces were to join the fight, they would still not win. And that's why NATO forces do not join the fight. NATO forces do not join the fight because they understand that even if they joined the fight, they would lose. That's why they don't join the fight. That's why they will not join the fight. That's why they didn't join the fight from the beginning, because they understand that they understood that they would lose to the Russian military. Let me read you a little bit of what Lord Richards said, if I have it bookmarked, which I do. Let's see here. We have what we have done in the case of Ukraine is encourage Ukraine to fight, but not given them the means to win, the former chief of the defense staff told the Independence podcast World of Trouble. Reflecting on Ukraine's chances of success against Russia, he said, my view is that they would not win. Could not win even with the right resources, he was asked. No, he replied. Pressed further by the Independent, he was asked, even with the right resources? No, they haven't got the manpower, the former commando said. Any way you slice it or dice it, or any way you look at it, Ukraine could not win, cannot win, will not win, and they've been given false hope that they had a chance to win. So the Independent, the UK media, Field Marshal Lord Richards, who from what I understand is a very, very capable military commander, Lord Richards, who was promoted to the UK military's most senior five-star rank earlier this year and led NATO forces during their troop surge in Afghanistan, said Ukraine's allies have failed Kiev. So he's the top, right? He's the top military commander in the UK, or one of the top military voices in the UK. And what they're saying, in my opinion, the media, the Independent, and Lord Richards, is that they're telling the UK public to prepare for the defeat, right? Forget about everything we've been telling you for 4 years, the BBC running stories about shovels, the UK media talking about Russians running out of missiles, the Telegraph talking about how the Russian economy, or the Financial Times talking about how the Russian economy is going to collapse, the Telegraph talking about how the Russian military is about to lose any day now. And just forget about what we've been reporting for 4 years. It's time to now level set the UK public to get them prepared slowly, or quickly, actually, for the defeat that could be coming. That's why they're having podcasts like this. That's why they're allowing this general to speak the truth. That's why they're putting out articles like this. It's a narrative shift, right? Forget about everything we told you for 4 years. The new narrative now, UK public, is that Ukraine cannot win. That's a new narrative. For 4 years, it was Ukraine's going to win, and Russia was going to lose, and Russia's losing. Now the narrative is Ukraine can't win. So anyway, that's the article from the Independent, from the German state media propaganda outlet, Deutsche Welle. They are reporting that a German government spokesperson has said that Hungary is obligated to arrest Putin if he travels to Budapest. That's right. According to the ICC, of which Hungary is still a signatory. My understanding of this, some people are telling me that Hungary's not a signatory. My understanding of it is that Hungary is pulling out of the ICC, out of the Rome Statute, but it still has not happened. And so the way I understand things is that Hungary is still obligated by the ICC, by the Rome Statute, to arrest Putin should he step foot in Budapest. Germany is telling Hungary, you have to arrest him. But Peter Szijjártó has come out with a statement and said, no, we are not going to arrest him. Keep in mind that Netanyahu went to Hungary. He is also wanted by the ICC, and Hungary did not do anything. And the interesting part is that Deutsche Welle, and at least my understanding of it, is that I didn't see any articles from Deutsche Welle or other Collective West outlets saying Hungary has to arrest Netanyahu if he travels to Budapest. Maybe there were a couple of articles on the Collective West media side of things that said something like that, but not to the level of what's being said right now. All the Collective West media is writing about how Putin is wanted by the ICC, and shame on Hungary for allowing Putin, or for potentially possibly allowing Putin to travel to Budapest. How dare you, Hungary? Right? But anyway, that's Germany. Germany's very upset with Hungary. Very upset. Nord Stream pipeline sabotage? Not so upset. Hungary Putin peace summit? Very upset. Oh man, the situation on the front lines is going from bad to worse for the Ukraine military. You know, a possibility that might happen is that in 2 weeks' time, Putin may be meeting with Trump, and he may be presenting a very, very bleak picture for the Ukraine military in Donbas, in Pokrovsk, in many areas. He may be able to pull out a map and present the various cauldrons to the Trump White House, which will probably shock U.S. President Trump and many of Trump's officials, because many cauldrons are being formed, and in 2 weeks, many cauldrons may be closing, and key cities and towns in Donbas may be captured in 2 weeks, including Pokrovsk. We are getting reports from Ukraine mapping channels, which are saying that the Russian military has now captured more than 50% of the center, the city center in Pokrovsk. And basically the only part of Pokrovsk that the Ukraine military controls is the western part of Pokrovsk. And this is coming from the Ukraine side of things. And you have a similar situation in other areas across the front line, in Kupiansk and Liman, and other areas as well. From AMK Mapping, which is very pro-Ukrainian, but they do a good job of monitoring what is going on the front line. They say, since I published this map update, it has become apparent that the situation in Pokrovsk has significantly worsened for Ukraine. Less than 50% of the city is now under solid Ukrainian control, with the Russians now present in most of the city south of the railway line, including the city center. The E50 highway has been cut via Pokrovsk Northwestern Industrial Zone, meaning supply is now even more difficult. We could be approaching the end of the battle for the city and neighboring Mirnograd. Interesting choice of words from AMK Mapping, huh? Less than 50% of the city is now under solid Ukrainian control. Instead of saying Russia controls more than 50% of the city, he says less than 50% of the city. See, everything is how you frame it, right? Everything is how you frame it. That's how propaganda works. But anyway, a reliable source, in my opinion, on the mapping that is happening in Ukraine, at least from a Ukrainian side of things, AMK Mapping. But a bad situation for the Ukraine military. It's going to be very hard to supply the Ukraine soldiers into Pokrovsk. It's getting harder and harder with each passing day. I wonder what the situation's going to be like in 2 weeks. And this is happening as Syrsky and Alensky are sending everything they have into Pokrovsk. They're sending their best into Pokrovsk, and they're still losing. So keep that in mind. Julian Rupske from Bild, he posted on X, no Tomahawk, no Taurus, no peacekeeping troops, no fuel collapse. Russians 20 kilometers deep in the Dnipropetrovsk region and in the center of Pokrovsk. The positive mood of the last 4 months, which the soldiers at the front and I have felt, is gradually fading away. Notice how he reveals that there is no fuel collapse. This is coming from the Bild reporter. So he reveals that the whole fuel thing was fake news, right? And he also reveals that Russia, contrary to the claims that this is a stalemate and Russia's not advancing at all and they haven't gained any territory over the past 6 months or whatever, he actually reveals that Russia is 20 kilometers deep in the Dnipropetrovsk region. So interesting admissions from Julian Ropske of Bild. So the Trump administration, switching gears, they annihilated a drug sub. That's right, a drug submarine. According to U.S. President Trump, he posted on Truth Social, "It was my great honor to destroy a very large drug-carrying submarine that was navigating towards the United States on a well-known narco-trafficking transit route. U.S. intelligence confirmed this vessel was loaded up with mostly fentanyl and other illegal narcotics. There were four known narco-terrorists on board the vessel. Two of the terrorists were killed. At least 25,000 Americans would die if I allowed the submarine to come ashore. The two surviving terrorists are being returned to their countries of origin, Ecuador and Colombia, for detention and prosecution. No U.S. forces were harmed in the strike. Under my watch, the United States of America will not tolerate narco-terrorists trafficking illegal drugs by the land or by the sea. Thank you for your attention to this matter." Okay, so four narco-terrorists, as Trump describes them, were in this drug submarine, right? And then there's video for this as well that was published. But you have four narco-terrorists. Two were killed, but two are now being sent to Colombia and Ecuador for prosecution. Why didn't the U.S. military capture these two surviving drug narco guys and present them to the people of the United States so that they can say, okay, you see, we're not BSing about the drugs on these boats or on these subs. I don't know. It just seems weird. It seems very weird. I've never heard of a drug submarine, by the way. Maybe they exist. I don't know. I'm getting reports, actually, that that fishermen in Trinidad are afraid to take out their boats, man. They're afraid to take out their boats and just fish because the U.S. might annihilate them. It's horrific, man. What a terrible situation. Anyway, we have that bit of news as well. And I think we can do... Can we do a clown world? Yeah, we can do a clown world. So the Netherlands. The Netherlands wants to talk to China over their theft, their seizure of the chip maker Nexperia. You see, the Netherlands, they seized Nexperia. At least they seized the company in the Netherlands. And they switched out the CEO and the directors, and they took over the shares. And they did all of that in 24 hours, right? According to court documents, on the orders of the United States, they seized this company and its assets and its board and its shares. But they forgot about the production facility. They forgot about the production of the actual product, which takes place in China. That's right. Takes place in China. And so what did the Chinese do? They said, okay, you will seize our company in the Netherlands. No problem. We'll just put a ban on products that Nexperia exports to the Netherlands and to Europe. No chips for you, is what China said. Dutch minister seeks talks with China over Nexperia export ban. Dutch minister for economic affairs, Karemans, wants to find a solution with China regarding the Chinese export ban on Nexperia chips. And here is what Grok AI is saying about this. The export ban is China's prohibition on Nexperia's Chinese subsidiaries and subcontractors exporting chips produced in China. While Nexperia is headquartered in the Netherlands, much of its manufacturing relies on facilities there. So the ban disrupts those outflows to global markets, including back to Holland. This retaliatory move undercuts the Dutch takeover's effectiveness by starving the company of key production capacity. Oh boy, you forgot about the production facility in China. You forgot about the production facility in China. All right, we're taking over this company. We're taking it over. The shares are ours. Mr. CEO, you're out. Here's the new CEO, the Western-friendly CEO. Here's the Western-friendly board, the Western-friendly management. Directors, the company is ours. Take that, China. Mr. Karamanz, Mr. Economics Affairs Minister. Mr. Karamanz, yes. Yes, you got a question? What about the place where they actually make the chips? Good question. I didn't think about that. I think we're going to have a problem. Oh my God, you can't make this stuff up, man. Is someone going to get fired over this in the government in the Netherlands? Is someone going to get fired over this? I mean, really? Come on, man. Come on. Oh boy. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. The Durand.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. And like this video, subscribe to this channel. Yes, I forgot to say it in the beginning again. I know. Anyway.